situation. He specializes in bringing the best out of a dead situation.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Lift Jesus Higher. Today, Bishop will be teaching from John chapter 12, verses 27 through 33.
John chapter 12. I'm going to look at verse 27, and we'll read all the way down to verse 33. Thank you for your help in the back. I really appreciate it. The scripture says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose, I came to this hour." Verse 28, "Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said, "It is like it had thundered." Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." They heard something, but they couldn't tell if it was thunder or if it was the voice of an angel. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for you or your sake. Now it is the judgment of this world. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." In other words, I'm breaking bondages. "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples, all men to myself." This is he, or this he said, signifying by which death he should die. We like to say, "Lift Jesus high by praise." But he says, "If I be lifted up, or if my cross is lifted up, and I'm hung on the cross, I will draw all men unto me." I want to share from the series, Lift Him Up, a message entitled, "He Did It All For Me." Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that as I teach the word, that you would be glorified in all that we do. Thank you for the adjustments and for the team working with me, helping us to perceive and to know, and for the precision that's necessary, Lord, to cast this word out to the four corners of the earth. Thank you for the international emphasis. Our response to you is praise. You did it all for us, not only collectively, but individually. You died for every one of us individually. I pray that we would get a sense of gratitude, a sense of connectivity with what you've done, and appreciate the sacrifice that was made, but also the fact you loved us enough to die, but you also loved us enough to come out of the grave and to secure our salvation. Give us the power to work with you, to serve you, to yield, and to submit to your will. Think through me, speak through me. Touch our minds and our hearts and our soul and our spirit. Touch this flesh, and we will give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. He did it all for me. Resurrection is not simply an event. We celebrate once a year. It's not just an event. We celebrate. Thank you, sir. Once a year. It is the power to live. Please write it down. The power to live every day. The power to live from every day. I want to say that again. Resurrection is not something that we simply celebrate once a year. It is the power that we live from every day. In other words, it's our source. The source of our vitality. The source of our strength. The power that we live from every day. So if you need a battery source, the resurrection power is your battery. If you need fuel, the resurrection power would be your fuel. If you need something to help you move forward, and we all do, you live from the juice that comes from resurrection power. All other power, including black power, is false power, short-lived. Because it doesn't matter how strong you are when you're young, you will get old. You can't trust in your power. I don't care how fine you are when you're young. All of that fine is going to get old. And if you're comparing yourself with how fine you are, eventually it's going to fade. Some people, it fades at 2 o'clock. When we take off all of the stuff that props us up. We spend billions in MAC, Maybelline. We spend billions in the gym. Billions building stuff. That's going to fade. Even when flesh has no breath, they believe it's worth less than $5. All of this that we protect, when there's no breath in it, it's not worth $5. And after about maybe a month, whoever loved you, forget that they love you. Another person is sleeping in the bed. Another person is talking to him on the phone. All that you love, somebody else is loving. Inheriting all of your goods, all the money in the bank, spending it. They don't care after a month and a half. You can spend all of your life building it. Another person will enjoy it, laid back. With the mind on the money and the money on the mind. Laid back. Sipping on gin and juice. With my mind on my money on my mind. Laid back. Sipping on gin and juice. And you put all of that stuff because of what? Somebody else enjoys it. We must put our confidence and our power in something greater than ourselves. The older I get, the more I realize that if I don't have Jesus, I don't have nothing. I don't have anything if I don't have Christ. In Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. And this I know. It is the power that we live from every day. When God raised Jesus from the dead, that power, he has decided to demonstrate it, but also to place it inside of us. The power to defeat sin. The power to overcome sickness. The power to overcome poverty. The power that took death and stripped it of its sting. And grave of its victory. thy Lord. Y'all pray for him. I'm dropping stuff today. I don't know what's up. But thank God for helpers. Appreciate it. Touch your name and say, it's going to be all right for Bishop. It may look like I'm dropping stuff, but I'm picking stuff up too. I'm picking things up. Oh my God. Let me say it again. He demonstrated his power by defeating sickness and helping us to defeat sickness and sin. We can overcome it. And he helped us to overcome poverty. Nobody has to be stricken with poverty, because before it is a lack of funds, it's a mentality. I said poverty is a mentality. He even gave us power over death. In other words, he took the sting. If death is a wasp, he took the sting out of it. It may land, but it doesn't sting. Because as soon as we close our eyes, absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And he took the victory from the grave. Solomon said that jealousy is as cruel as the grave, which means if a person is jealous, there's nothing you can do to release yourself from its grip. Just like if you lower a body in the ground. Once the body is lowered in the ground, it is almost impossible without God for that body to come forth. That's how it is when people are jealous of you. So why are you sitting there trying to play with it? You have to step away from the graveyard of jealousy. Jesus, though, took the sting out of the grave and the victory from the grave. So even jealousy can be defeated. See, God will raise you up in such a way that people that are jealous for you will have to praise you before they die. So why in the world are we talking about what people feel? Why would we give that kind of energy to folk? Oh, my God. I believe the resurrection proves something about our God and about his power and his authority. It proves that God is powerful, but also God specializes. We used to sing a song that God specializes and he can do the impossible, bringing out the best out of a dead situation. He specializes in bringing the best out of a dead situation. Man, I heard Jake said that God told Moses, instead of crying, I want you to take what I put in your hands. It was a stick, and stretch it out. Though he had chariots coming from behind and a sea before, he said, all you need is to stretch out what I put in your hands, because I put a trick in the stick. And God has put something supernatural into something that he gave you, hallelujah, that can overcome anything behind you, pursuing you, if you would just stretch out what he put in your hands. He didn't say you need to stretch out. He didn't say you need to turn around and speak to it. He just said, stretch out what I put in your hand. Because he put a trick in the stick. Man, Jake's preached that message. And I'm going to preach this one. God has redeemed you with resurrection power, and he put something in the power that you don't have to look outside of anything to overcome. All you got to do is stretch out your faith and watch God bring you out. So let's talk about that power. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, even the fellowship of his suffering. But we're not going to go with the fellowship of the suffering, because many people lose it when it comes to suffering. Nobody's willing to suffer. I was sitting with a group of preachers when Mike Tyson was fighting a certain guy and years ago, and Mike Tyson was laying some body shots, and the preacher, he had a raspy voice. He said, "That guy ain't willing to suffer." He liked to punch, but he's not willing to suffer because Mike Tyson is making him suffer with body shots. And that's how the enemy, he realized that many of us, we like to knock folk out, but we ain't willing to suffer or take a few shots ourselves. But you don't know how tough you are until you can take some shots and stay in the fight. You take one shot, you ready to quit. I'm done with Christianity. I'm done with that church. How thick is your skin? So I'm not going to talk about suffering. Let's just talk about the power of the resurrection. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Paul went on to say, and in the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. It's the same verse. But let's just stick with the power. And if you get the power and it really settles in you, he will prepare you for the suffering. As so many of you are going through suffering right now. Going through issues that you didn't plan for. Never saw it coming. Didn't know it was coming in the last chapter. But it showed up. Even at the front door. Write it down. Resurrection power validates. It validates Jesus' identity as the Son of God. It validates identity. See, there's some things that you can talk about when you talk about a natural man, but coming out of the grave really sets you apart from everybody else. And I went to Golgotha. I went to the tomb in which they laid him, and it's empty. But I can go to Buddha, his tomb. I can go to Crystal. I can go to Muhammad, to wherever they laid him, and you're going to see his grave. His bones are right there. In every major religion around the world, you'll see its leader's bones there, but you would not find the bones of Jesus anywhere. He said, "Well, I don't know if it's true or not." Get over all of that. This is the only book that has sold billions of copies around the world. If they didn't take it off the bestsellers list, it would be there now. It's translated in so many different languages. It is simply amazing. This is one person that changed the trajectory of history around the world. And you still letting the Israelites, the black Israelites tell you this is all false. You still listening to this foolishness that's piping out of social media and messing up your mind. And you forget that you was raised by faith. You were developed by faith. You had a stake in faith. And now all of a sudden you got educated and you don't know who God is. Remember now your creator. But oh, foolish ones, who has bewitched you that you don't know the truth? The resurrection actually validates Jesus. Its power is validated through the fact that he came out of the grave. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, how do you know this? Well, 500 people saw him. So what do you mean 500 people? Well, I can convict you of any crime out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. So what do you mean? Two people see you do it, you will have to go to the jail. Only two. 500 came out screaming. This is history. We saw him. He appeared to us. He's alive. And you still doubting it. Show me anywhere where 500 people testify of it and we still got to prove it. This is before we got DNA testing, before we got any of that. 500 people and his disciples were willing to die just to hold on to the faith. Read generals of the faith and all of the ones who died by the Roman Empire after he was risen from the dead. how Nero crucified many of them. Even Peter was crucified. He denied him on the night in which he was beaten and the day in which he was crucified. But later on, he was so strong in his faith that he was crucified and they wanted to hang him on a T-cross. He told them to turn him upside down. Turn me upside down and crucify me. And he went through the same crucifixion that Jesus did, but he had his body turned upside down. What would make a man be willing to die for something that he believed in so strong that he's willing to turn upside down and bleed from the upside down position? I don't know of anybody that would die for their faith like that. Paul was beheaded. And I can go on and on. John was sent to the Isle of Patmos. Many believers were dipped in hot boiling water and oil, and they did it willingly, and they wouldn't give up their faith. But let's fast forward to this generation. Up in Connecticut, when those boys came in with guns and put the gun to the first girl and said, I want you to deny Jesus. She said, I can't. And he blew her head off. But it's the next girl that you need to think about. She looked at her friend, her hair just exploded, and he said the same thing to her. She said, I can't deny him. And then he shot her. I want to talk about that one. After watching somebody get her own classmate blown away, but she believed it so much that she held on to it. And you still crying about what? What will make her say, I'm willing to take a bullet for a faith that I have in him? And you crying about what you believe and what you can't believe. It's right in your own time, because God will always have a witness in your generation. Somebody's your age. That happened in 2012, so the girl would be in her early 20s now. For all of you that are shaking in your faith, she gave up her life because she believed. Amen. Not the first girl, it's the second one. Oh my God. And you battling with what? What have you had to bleed for? You mean to tell me I can put a little pressure on you and you back away from what you know? Or do you have something inside of you that says, I got to go ahead? And it's the power of the resurrection that gives us that impetus. Oh, God, help me. Resurrection power validates identity. And if you walk in the resurrection power, your identity will be validated. You won't have an identity crisis. It's resurrection power that stamps his approval. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. All of it validates. Paul is speaking to the Roman church. He said, I don't have to fight with you. He is declared to be God's son because of the resurrection power from the dead. It validates identity. The resurrection is heaven's confirmation that Jesus is the Son of God. And those of us that follow him can follow him with courage. I don't know what's here after the curtain called life, but I know someone went there for me and he secured it for me. And all of our loved ones that have passed away. Jada, our prayers are with you for the passing of your loved one. But whoever died in Christ will rise again. Let me say it on this side, because I couldn't get no help over there. Anybody that dies in Christ, we will see them again. Yes. Even if they barely made it in. Yes. They could be on their deathbed, but as long as they say, I believe, God says, welcome into my glory. Yes. I was called to the bedside of a transgender who was dying. I don't know how I got there, but he was in a coma. And his family asked me to pray. So when I went in the room, I looked at his body and looked at him. I didn't know why I was there, but because they asked me to pray, I said, I'll do it. And when I stood up there, I said, Lord, I don't know if this man can hear me, but I pray for him. And he opened his eyes. Listen to me, he was in a coma. And I said, Lord, I don't know if this man can hear me. And when I said that, he opened his eyes and turned his head to me. I said, can you hear me? Can you blink twice? And he blinked twice. I said, because God brought you back, he wants you to get the gospel. And I shared what I'm sharing with you. And as soon as I finished, he pulled his head back, closed his eyes, and went back into the coma. Listen to me. Let me tell you about God's love. Let me tell you about God. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter the scar. It doesn't matter. God was seeing help along the way. There is healing in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Lift Jesus Higher, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Relentless will meet for corporate prayer at the TR Palm Bay campus on Friday, April 17th at 7 p.m. Married and engaged couples, you are invited to the Marriage Enrichment Ministry Hearts Intertwined Session on Saturday, April 18th at 7 p.m. at the TR Palm Bay campus. Calling all young adults ages 20 to 39 to join Focus on Friday, April 24th at 7 p.m. at the TR Palm Bay campus to connect, fellowship, and get involved with your purpose. Scan the QR code in the foyer and get involved. Awaken Women will fellowship on Saturday, April 25th at 9 a.m.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Are you feeling isolated? Alone? Maybe even unloved. Well, Billy Graham reminded us often, there is someone who cares. He created you, he loves you, and desperately wants to be part of your life.
God loves you as though you are the only person in the whole world. You are important to God, and he sent his son to die on the cross for you.
Why would God make an incredible sacrifice like that for you and me?
All of us are sinners, and the word sin means lawbreaker. We break the moral laws of God, and we're separated from God, and we're headed toward judgment.
So, you see, God sacrificed his only son to spare you from that judgment so you can be with him forever, because he loves you. We can tell you more when you visit findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.